On this next presentation, what I'm going to try to do is just rapidly go through some of the points that we might have missed related to organic. I have no intentions of repeating what we've already discussed. There's a couple points we did miss on why develop organic farming systems. It had to do with the water use efficiency. There was a couple of questions related to water use efficiency. In the organic systems, there's hardly any measurements of water use efficiency. The pecan grower, pecan orchard that we worked with, the reason that he wanted to change from his conventional system to the organic system had to do with spraying pesticides. So there's a lot of pecan growers in Texas that's quite concerned with this pesticide issue in health. The other point that I think we failed to mention today, in contrast to more conventional systems, organic production is a holistic system in which numerous interactions and myths exist. And it's extremely difficult to separate one of the components of an organic system and separate that component and study that component. You've got to see it as a holistic system and study it as a holistic system. Taking a particular successful component within an organic system and applying within a conventional system will fail. For example, the compost tea. The greatest criticisms that we have gotten with our research is some conventional farmer will take one component of that system and then try it, and then he comes back and criticizes and says, well, it doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is he fails to recognize that it is a system. And we've went through this over and over again today. The basic assumption of organic production is improved soil health results in improved plant health, resulting in a plant with increased resistance to insect and diseases. We've discussed that. And how do we improve soil health? We've discussed today increasing the organic matter. I don't think anyone has mentioned today the importance of balance of soil nutrients, the chemical, physical, and biological properties. If you're going to convert to an organic system, the first thing you've got to do is have a detailed soil test analysis, and you've got to balance your nutrients. You cannot use the type of organic fertilizers, the type of organic products that you use greatly depends upon the balance of those nutrients. For example, if a soil has excess P and K, I don't believe you want to use compost or manure, because if you get excess nutrients, then you start tying up the micronutrients. So I think today we've sort of failed to recognize the importance that there's a nutrient balance in the soil. And this soil health starts not only the biological properties and the physical properties, the chemical properties, it depends upon that balance. We've discussed in detail today also compost tea. We put this in there. This is the brewer that we use, an extractor. I think today we've not mentioned there's several type of teas. You can get compost teas, there's extracted teas, and there's brewed teas, and there's commercial teas. And a lot of the success on those, I think, or the failure of those compost teas depends upon the quality of the compost. A lot of people think they're going to apply compost teas, but the compost is not worth making compost tea out of. I put this in. There's a couple of people in the room that's seen this. I put this in there to make a point. We can do research on farms, or we could do research government farms or state farms. But a lot of the organic research has been conducted in backyards, in the valley along the Rio Grande border. It's extremely difficult and nearly impossible to grow roses. because of the disease problem. These are roses in my backyard. We have high humidities in the morning until 10 o'clock. There's dew on all of the plants, and so you have these diseases. And with compost teas, I know in this case compost tea controls the diseases on those roses. Those roses are totally disease-free. So anyway, if you're using compost tea, you've got to identify what your problem is first, what your disease problem is, and then also you've got to make sure that that compost tea is designed to attract that disease problem. It's not a trial and error, and I think that's the reason why you see some people say compost tea fails and some people say compost tea is successful. I want to talk just a bit about the Guibert pecan orchard. It was in Comanche, Texas. It was difficult for us to do research at that farm because it was 430 miles away, and we didn't have that much control. There were five varieties within the farm, and the farm was divided into two parts. The part that we studied that was organic had 422 trees, and then there was another half of the orchard that was conventional. And the other thing I believe today that we've sort of failed to discuss is the difficulty in designing organic experiments. Our review process tends to want to study components and not systems. So if you, within the government and also the federal government and the state government, because of the reviews of the processes, I mean the reviews of projects, we want to try to understand why the system works. So we tend to stress the importance of component research, and it's nearly impossible to do component research in an organic system. And then also, what is the plot size? There's a real scale problem within organic systems when you take this integrated or the holistic approach. Most research done on small plots is Michelle said this morning, and a lot of them don't apply to large scale. Anyway, we ended up taking 100 square foot surrounding each tree, which is 17.8 feet radius. We had soil treatments applied 2 to 3 times a year, and soil compost tea applied 3 times a year, and then foliar compost tea sort of monthly after the bloom stage. And then we had foliar zinc and the Guibert control was just 50 pounds of nitrogen an acre. The state of Texas Extension Service says to grow pecans in Texas, you only need zinc and nitrogen. So we followed their recommendations. So the Guibert control is zinc plus 50 pounds per acre of nitrogen, soil treatments 3 times a year. Failed to put that. And I put this in there because we, and myself, in our group in the Valley, we're a firm believer that you base your amendments, your organic amendments, on the Albrecht method. I think there's two labs. I could be corrected. I think there's two labs in the U.S. That recommend based on the Albrecht method, and that's that Texas Soil and Plant Lab in Edinburgh, and then the Kinsey Lab in Missouri. So in this case, you'll see later that we were very successful with compost, but see, there's a real deficiency of phosphate, and there's a real deficiency of potassium. And if you're using the Albrecht approach for balance, it requires P and K, so it requires compost. And if those were excessive, I think by the Albrecht method, you would not want to add compost. Just a little of the results, and I'm not going to. I'm just going to discuss those as previously in the talks. We found that year in and year out, if we added mycorrhizae to the soil, that was our best treatment. With poultry litter, we used a pelletized commercial poultry litter. Someone else explained the price of that has gotten to the point where you can't afford to buy it. It's gotten nearly to $600, $680 a ton. We used an airway and punched holes in the soil, which is about 8 inches deep, so the mycorrhizae got to the roots. So year in and year out, this is the 2007 pecan yield. Our best treatment was 40 pounds a tree with the mycorrhizae. And if you go down third from the bottom, you see that the Gebert control was only 33 pounds a tree. This is a comparison of the pecan nut characteristics among varieties in the conventional versus the organic pecans for the year 2007. For three varieties, the Desirable, Wichita, and Cheyenne, and you see for the nut weight, the organic is for the Desirable is 27% greater. The Wichita, the nut weight was 11% greater, and the Cheyenne was 25% greater. The difference, the primary difference in my opinion is the consumer between the organic and the conventional orchard was the quality of the nut. The taste of pecan, of organic pecans, are so much better than the conventional pecans, and the appearance of those pecans are much better. They're not nearly as wrinkled looking. This is the summary in 2008. Most pecan growers believe that a pecan tree is an alternate bearing tree. In one year you'll get a high yield, in one year you'll get a low yield, and that's always the case in the conventionally grown system. In our organic system, the 2008 yields should have been around 4 pounds a tree, and you see that we're up to 22 pounds a tree. The Gebert is up to 11, and I probably failed to mention that. The treatments are soil treatments, and the foliar part of the upper ground part of those trees were always sprayed with compost tea. So the Gebert control, we got about 11 pounds per tree, and over in his conventional, I don't even think he harvested. There was less than 2 pounds a tree. So even in this case, the compost tea added to the yields. This is the 2008 again, comparing yields. The organic system was 6.7 times greater for the Desirable compared to the convention, and the Cheyenne was 3.8 times greater. I put this in. Larry Zabilski has been working with us quite a lot how we've discussed. The previous speakers have all discussed how it increases the organic matter, and you see in that case in the poultry litter, Kinsey Organic, all the way to the last column, which is the conventional with no compost, you see that the organic carbon is in the, that's after 6 years of applications, you see that the organic carbon content has increased greatly. This is the microbial biomass again, just center on the top 2 inches, even on the gray area is the next 4 inches. But see, you can see in that case still with the compost and the compost plus poultry litter, the microbial biomass is increased greatly. And that gets back to what Steve says in his talk, the key to any organic system is the soil food web. And I'm sort of surprised over the years that we've sort of ignored that. the major insect problems in the pecans orchards in Texas is the pecan casebearer, also the pecan weevil, and the yellow aphids. The pecan scab, I'd say 80% of our pecan scab was controlled with compost teas. And I think a lot of that was the problem that we had with timing, because we had to drive the 423 miles to spray the compost teas. We had to make the compost teas and spray them. With my roses, when I showed the picture of the roses, those were roses that were bought on the side of the road that came from California. And after planting the roses, about 3 weeks later, all the leaves were gone. And I started spraying with compost tea. In the first several months, I had to spray once a week. Then I got to spraying once a month. The last year I lived at that house, I just left the valley. The last year, I didn't spray compost tea at all. So there's a period that we've also discussed today. There's a period of time required to build up the biology of the soil. And to build up the microbiology of the soil, you've got to have food, as Steve said this morning. And a lot of the times on the roses, used either humates or molasses is the food for the microbes. And it's very difficult to within our study to separate what was the controlling mechanism for the casebearer. Was it improved plant health? We also released trichogamma wasps, and we released those every 2 weeks for 2 months. And then the farmer, the grower, wanted to spray. He had sprayed spinosad about three times a year, and so we finally allowed him to spray 0.2 pints once a year. And I don't think the spinosad really was a factor in our experiment. Anyway, because of the, if you'll turn the lights back on in the back, because of the excellent talks we had today, and I think most of you that's still in here were probably in here this morning. I cut the talk short because we've lost most of our audience, and then also I don't want to repeat what's already been heard. Does anyone in here have any comments or questions before we, either for myself or for James Koskin, he's still here from West Virginia. If you have comments or questions for either he or myself, you're welcome to do that.
I have one for James. When you're talking about IBM, not prevention, four strategies.